This is the official podcast for casual anime fanatics. On today's episode, we're discussing the highly anticipated anime called Solo Leveling. This is episode 10, titled, You've Been Hiding Your Skills. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm your host Jordo, and here with me as always is my co-host and kin, the baby brother Brennan. It is officially spring your clocks forward this morning. And Brennan, you remember when we were kids how much that would just like wreck your life because the smartphones weren't a thing? Like people would just straight up like you miss church, you miss freaking everything because you forgot. Like you go to school the next day and you're like, oh shit.
We've been living
an hour behind for like freaking 3 days. Gosh, I feel like it doesn't really like you used to have to like tell everybody you knew, like for the love of God, tell people it's spring forward tomorrow night, and you like go home and you tell your mom. Now it's just like it happens automatically because our phones just change.
Yeah, the only things you really have to do are some cars. I don't really know if mine jumps forward. I know I have to change my wife's, and then like my microwave, oven, stuff like that. It's like the manuals and watches, but you just have to check a watch every time you put it on, just because I don't wear them very often. So anytime I do, I gotta check the bitch. Some of them don't even work anymore.
Yeah. We still have to change our microwave, we have to change our oven, coffee pot. I have to change all of our cars still manually. So it is kind of a biatch.
Yeah, but you can go like months before you actually decide to do, especially the car, because it's like, well, shit, I'm already driving now.
Yeah.
You got time.
You just start to realize like, oh yeah, that shit's an hour behind. But then I'm pretty sure Dad did that. He would just leave that shit all year. We would always just know it's an hour behind because he never sprung it forward.
There's plenty of people that do that, I'm sure. Especially here, for the next 2-3 months, there's going to be a lot of people that are just running an hour ahead or behind,
yeah.
I guess.
There's definitely those. I mean, it's like the people that put their Christmas lights up, but then they don't take them down. It's like people call them crazy. It's like, you don't take your Christmas lights down until Christmas comes around again, and then they're looking at all of us like, who's crazy now, bastards? I never had to take mine down, and now I don't even have to put them back up. It's the same thing for people that don't change the clocks. If they just wait another 6 months, they'll be right back in the game.
It's actually a shorter wait than Christmas lights. Makes more sense.
Oh, yeah. It is. Especially if you're putting your Christmas lights, you know, if you're running them the day after Halloween through New Year, I mean, that's 3 months of lights right there. You might as well leave them up all year. But enough chit-chat. Hopefully everybody listening remembers to set their clocks forward. I do recommend go ahead and change your clock. It's just the responsible thing to do. You don't want to, like, pick somebody up in your car and them think it's the wrong time, because they don't know you're a lazy piece of shit that doesn't update your clocks. So, unless they do know. I recommend changing them, though. But anime-wise, you been watching anything good lately?
Nothing new, just Free Ren, Delicious in Dungeon, and Mashley. It's really all I'm watching right now, and they're all, at this point, weekly, and I don't always watch them the day they come out, but I never get more than one behind.
Nice. I'm still doing, Mashley, Shangri-La Frontier, I think it's over the first season. Still watching Yu Yu Hakusho. Still great. I don't think I've watched an episode since last week, though, because I've been getting up early, which means I've been going to sleep earlier. So I haven't been watching as much anime before bed, so I'm just too dog tired. Like, we're recording right now at 7:52. I'll probably go to bed, like, literally right after we stop recording.
That's why I stopped getting up and going to the gym at, like, 4 in the morning. Then it's just like I ain't even getting more day. I feel like I get less day because then it's like I'm tired. And then when I'm tired, I'm less willing to go against it because I'm like, shit, I got to get up early.
That's what we've been doing. We've been waking up early we're just hitting the garage gym though, but still, like, you get up an hour and a half earlier than you're used to. You're freaking tired as hell all day if you don't go to bed early. So it really is just trading off. You're either going to go late after work when you're tired from working all day, or you're going to go before work and then be tired all day while you work. Just whichever whichever one's better for you, I guess. But let's go ahead and talk about this episode. Keep this episode short. This was episode 10 of Solo Leveling. We do think that it's going to be a 12-episode season, which means we're nearing an end here. It was titled You've Been Hiding Your Skills, and this episode was unique in that the name of the episode was not something that Jinwoo himself said.
Yeah, is that the first
the quote
one?
This week?
Nobody
this
else
is the
has
first
ever
time.
Said it, though.
This is the first time that it's always been Jinwoo that says the title. This
but
time
we knew.
It was Mr. Song.
We knew for sure that it was Mr. Kang, I thought.
It was Mr. Song.
I thought it was...
Wait, no, it was Kang. You're right, It was Kang.
But we kind of knew from just the title last week that, you know, he ain't going to say that about himself. Well, I guess I don't remember, it's only a week ago, but we could have been like, well, maybe he says it to somebody else, like... Maybe Mr. Sung was hiding his level the whole time or something.
Yeah.
So it was
possible.
Now, with hindsight, we're like, yeah, obviously someone had to say it, but I guess we didn't know for sure. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's definitely not something you'd see Jinwoo saying. Like, you can't say you've been hiding your skills in a cool way.
Maybe he could have said to Joo-hee, his girl, been like, you've been hiding your skills.
I don't think he'd say it. I just don't. He might, but I just don't think he would. All right, so overall, what'd you think of this episode?
It was good. I mean, finally got a human-on-human fight. Not that he didn't kill those other humans, but that was more of just like a slaughter.
A little man-on-man action.
Yeah.
You usually got to pay extra for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we got
Is
some that,
that from Dodgeball?
I don't know what it's from. I can't say. It sounds like it'd be from something like Dodgeball, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's part that Jason Bateman says.
Oh, yeah.
Little man-on-man action. Usually got to pay double for that kind of action. all right, we continue. So you liked it?
Yeah, it was a good episode. The fight was good, and then it kind of had some... I mean, it was definitely had a turn. I don't think it's anybody... Like, we found out some... Like, a small revelation, like, you know, who was paying who to kill. You know, so it was pretty unique, I guess. It's just like, yeah, this guy... got paid to do it, and at first you don't really think anything of it. You're like, yeah, this dude's like, he's on the straight and narrow, like, obviously he's probably gonna kill these criminals, and we're gonna get the flashback that no, I don't need the money, like, I'm killing these guys because it's the right thing to do. And then you just find out this dude just likes killing people just because. Just like, damn,
dude, if somebody would have told me this dude coming into the hospital with the manometer from episode 3 was a psychopath, I would have been like, no, there's no way either of these guys is pure evil. But with a name like Kang, we should have known. We should have known Kang was an evil bastard. This guy was on the level of Dong Suk, maybe worse.
He's probably worse, because, like, I don't think Dong Suk was like... His was
he didn't
like,
enjoy killing people, he just
was
wanted
like,
money.
Yeah, and it was like rooted in greed. Like, this dude's just like... trying to test the scope of his powers. Likes killing people, not just monsters.
Yeah, this dude's as bad as it gets. And didn't we predict last week that that might be who the guy that was begging, like, please, you have to kill them? Didn't we kind of predict that he was probably talking to Kang?
Like I said, I couldn't remember. I was thinking about that during the episode. You may have said it because you said some things, but, like, I didn't predict that myself, but I think you may have. But like I said,
I think I did
sometimes fucking forget the predictions we made the episode before.
I remember we did come to a consensus that there's no way it was a hired gun from Dong Su. Like, Dong Su's are like, I'm gonna get my hands on them myself, I'm not sending somebody to kill these guys.
Yeah, it's just completely separate storyline, basically.
it was still interesting though that we didn't find out in this episode if it was, like, serendipitous that all of the people from the Cartanon Temple end up, you know, all the survivors end up doing the same raid. Like, are we just supposed to?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of. I think it's a coincidental, and the we could find out, but it would. I guess it could be very coincidental, just because this guy had this thing set up with these prisoners. Well, he maybe didn't. It looked like that guy paid him after he found out, but you know, if they're filling slots, it's like they are the weakest motherfuckers in the area. You know,
yeah.
It's like, what's the 50-mile radius? There's only so many weak people to come. So I don't know, but I did think there'd be more to it than, you know, we didn't really get much, and we could still find something out later on, you know, because this is a pivotal moment because people died.
Yeah. I mean, we did find out that, because we were kind of guessing if Kang and the Hunters Association assembled these people specifically because they wanted to test them and find out who had the power and how, you know, Jinwoo survived. But yeah. It was not at all that. Because he didn't even realize that it was Jinwoo.
Same dude,
from...
yeah, they didn't give a shit. And then the guy at the end also was like recognized him and was like surprised. So.
But also didn't give a shit.
Yeah, it wasn't an inside job.
I know, it's kind of weird. Like, okay, so we're just supposed to... I guess it just goes to show there's that few hunters around. Especially whenever they're just freaking... This whole what happens in a dungeon stays in a dungeon. Yeah, there's probably... underground like cockfighting going on in these dungeons too.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think there's like a verse of the dungeon. I think we're gonna slowly, which we already are, like we're gonna find out more and more, and maybe like the higher up we get, you think that like I was about to say, like the higher up we get, like the more that murders and like shady shit's going on inside the dungeon, you know, like, like you said, like it's Vegas, you know, what happens stays. But then it's also like, if you think about it, it's like, well, the stronger people in there, they could technically be like, hey, that shit's not going down. But also they could be like, yeah, that shit's going down and you can't stop me. So,
yeah,
I think they'll start to peel back some layers on like the evils in the dungeon.
I mean, they definitely peeled back a layer in this episode. The guy that works for the association, essentially the government of this whole thing.
I mean,
is in here just killing people.
It's like that shit checks out if you really think about it. It's just like, what kind of people like to go into government? A lot of evil motherfuckers.
Yeah, this fucking guy is like, and then at the end, it's funny. The boss, Wu Jinchul, he was just like, I knew he was sketchy, but damn, to think Kang was just killing people in these dungeons. Like, imagine your coworker that you spend. Like the guy you train, not your coworker. Like a guy that you literally bring up under your wing, you teach him the ropes, you go on missions together, and you know, you go on car rides. Come to find out, this little fucker has been killing people, convicts and not convicts alike. Just killing them. If he can get his blade on him, he's killing them. And not just a quick death, like he's torturing these people, slicing and dicing.
Yeah, and I'm curious, do you think he was going to kill all of them or literally just kill the criminals? And just, like, kind of rejoin with the others.
I think he was planning on killing all of them eventually. Like, he was going to see how it went.
I think he wasn't going to. I think he was just going to, like, say they got killed. Because he, like, beheaded them. He didn't torture the criminals, really. Well, it felt like he kind of killed them quicker. Like, they were, like, clean decapitations and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not
and
sure.
And then, the only reason I think he would not have killed them is because I think he thought they were all weak. You know what I mean? It wouldn't have necessarily been fun for him to, like, he couldn't test his skills against them. So I think he would have just came through, but then once they caught his ass, you know, it was just kind of like, if the shoe fits kind of thing. He was like, fuck.
He was like, oh no, I gotta kill you now.
Yeah, it's like, he ain't against it, like, but that's why he kind of tortured him to make it fun for himself, because it wasn't like, that ain't really what he's looking to get out of a fight.
Yeah. All right, well, here's the episode synopsis. At the D-Rank raid, Jinwoo is reunited with four of the Cartanon Temple survivors. Together, they explore the dungeon with Kang Taishik and his men. After splitting up, they hear a scream, and then... So, episode starts. It's with the convicts. They're kicking ass. I mean, it's goblin ass, but still kicking it. Mr. Song's also doing work. You see, he's a mage. He's doing, like, firewalls and shit. This guy's a firebender. Strong as hell. With one arm, too, mind you. Jinwoo even gets a goblin kill. Everybody's like, Jinwoo, you've gotten stronger. And Juhi's even like, yeah, I haven't even had to heal you once. What the hell's going on? He's kind of like, And then Mr. Song's like, where'd you get that freaking awesome dagger? And he doesn't even give them an answer. He just like smiles and scratches his head. So he's not doing a very good job, even from like out of the gates.
Yeah, you gotta think
he's like
about
getting
that
in
stuff.
And jumping some goblins.
Like, all he is just like, it's easy cover. It's just like, yeah, I started really training in the gym and like all my agility and my strength. And though, you know,
yeah,
it just made me a little bit quicker and reactive. And I just saved up for this. It was a gift from my uncle. Like, there yep. you go. Boom. Everyone's like, cool.
Yeah, he didn't have anything planned. Mr. Sung says to himself, he definitely has changed. Not just his appearance, but even his aura. He's making it look easy now. Opening song plays. It's awesome. Gotta love it. Gotta love level. Back to the show. They come up to three paths. And this was the moment, like, yep, it's definitely Kang killing the convicts. Like, whenever they decided to split up, I was like, here we go. So we got Jinwoo, Song, and Juhi going in the left tunnel because Jinwoo can sense that that's where the boss is and he wants the XP. Kim and Joanko, they go to the middle. Kang and the convicts go to the right. But before they all go into their respective tunnels, Kang and Jinwoo exchange glances, and this was weird. It was almost like Kang was acknowledging that Jinwoo knew what he was about to do, and he was like doing it anyways. They like looked at each other, and then he like smirked, like.
See, I took it, which was completely wrong, obviously, but I took it at the time as like, yeah, they're in here testing Jinwoo now, and I was like, he knows that the monster's down there, and he wanted to see if Jinwoo knew, so he was like, yeah, gotcha, bitch. Like, caught. But obviously, yeah. Obviously, that's not what he was doing.
Do you, like, I think that was just to show us that Kang, he's obviously a sociopath. He's able to act like he's normal, but he let it slip there by, like, looking at him and then smiling because he was like an animal about to get to feed. He was ready to kill, and he was getting close, and he couldn't contain it anymore, and that's why he smiled.
Yeah, I mean, I guess looking back, I could get that, but initially, I didn't think anything of it. I thought he was killing him, but I didn't, you know, like I said, I thought he was doing it for, like, the just reason, like, off the...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's a just reason. You know, it's pretty awful.
I mean, up to this point...
Awful what those guys did, but, you know, I thought he was just, like, just as hardcore type, like, yeah, I'll do it for free. Keep you $3 million.
Yeah, I know. I thought, pardon me, on my first watch... I didn't realize that Kang was bad until he killed the Kim and Joango. Then I was like, oh shit, this guy's like bad.
I knew he was bad.
Like cop work. He's bad.
So I didn't know he was bad much before that, but as soon as who are the other two, the Bailers, what are their names?
Kim and Joango.
Yeah, those two that dipped last time. As soon as that one guy goes, I'm going to apologize to him. It's like, it sucks because nobody's ever going to believe me. But like, as soon as he said that, I was just told Darby, I was like, this guy's dying this episode. So then I was like, yeah, that guy's probably going to have to kill him, kill these guys too. And then lo and behold, they walk around the old corner.
I know. Yep. So that leads us right to the next scene. So Kim and Joango, they're kicking some goblin ass too. Kim decides he's going to apologize to Jinwoo. He says, it's been bugging you too, right? How we ran away? We're grown men, professional hunters. Even if it was because of our families, that doesn't change the fact that we left one of our own behind. If we want to keep being hunters, we need to face up to what happened. And Joango says, you think he'll forgive us? Kim says, there's no chance, but I'm going to do it anyways. And honestly, loads of respect for Kim for coming to this conclusion, because last episode, whenever the way he wouldn't even look at Jinwoo, it's like, you bitch. He didn't do anything to you. What? He literally didn't do anything to you. So now I'm like, okay, he's
just
forgiven
one of those
in
things,
my eyes.
Like, I could see it though. Like, think about if shit. It's a big spoiler, but it's an old movie. It's an old movie, but it's kind of like is it 28 Days Later or? I don't know, it's like a zombie outbreak movie, and the dude, at the very beginning of the movie, the zombies break in the house. The dude dips, like, he bails out the window. And as he's running away, he sees his wife looking at him through the window. So he, like, left her. And then it's like, at the end of the movie, she made it too. And that's how it kind of ends, you know? That's basically what happens. Just like you love somebody for dead, and then you like turn around, and they're there. You're gonna feel like a piece of shit, and you're not gonna look them in the eyes. You know.
You're right. I guess it is appropriate.
Yeah, like legitimately, like if you love somebody for dead and thought you'd never see them again, and then you do, like you're not immediately gonna be like, I'm sorry. Like you're gonna need some time to feel like shit.
True. Contemplate why you're such an asshole.
Yeah, and they even. Pretty good. I mean, waste of time last week, but I mean, worth it this week. I mean, not that I remember his wife or his daughter or anything, but it's just that little thing to like, they did enough for him to make the death feel a little something to us. Cause it's like, we met his wife.
It was important, obviously, to Jin-Woo, obviously. I didn't think when he said there's no chance about forgiveness upon first watch, I was thinking like, dude, he ain't holding no grudges against you, but apparently he was like, very, very mad still at Kim. Like, how can I keep blaming you if you die?
Yeah, he was pissed at him when they left. Like,
yeah.
During the thing, he's like, I want to live too. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they did enough for the character by him apologizing and wanting to own up. And then, like, the brief encounter with his family, it's like, yeah, we ain't broken. And, like, we're not going to, like, be shouting him out via memes or anything. But, like, is it good enough death, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to play the song from Fast and Furious. It's been a long day without you, my friend. We should make that the sole Instagram video that people would share of Kim's death. I can already see him patting on the back that freaking Afro guy, his old friend Parks, in the first episode. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. So let's go over to Kang and the convicts. So Kang asked the convicts about killing humans. This is when you start to be like, okay, what's going on here? And this is also where we learned that it was Kang who was meeting with the guy begging for someone to kill these three. This guy is, I don't know how much money this guy had, but he had 3 billion yen.
Oh, it was offered. Billion? He had a billy?
3 billion yen. How much was the deal for Jin-Woo to work with Jin-Ho?
30 billion, right?
Was it 30 billion?
Yeah, I think it was 30 billion. It was either 30 or 300. I think it was 30 billion, though.
How much is 3 billion yen? Let me look it up.
I mean, it's less than 30 million, billion.
It's 20 million U.S. dollars.
Why is the
bill? It's a lot of money.
Why are there that's just a big gap. It's confusing for me. Like,
dude.
When you think of a billion anything, and then it's like, but I get it. Currencies aren't one for one, but
Brennan,
that's why
this
I'll
dude,
never understand it.
This guy came up with $20 million. He scrounged up all the money he could find, which turned out to be $20 million. This is one hell of a hit. And these are convicts.
I mean, yeah, he probably didn't even need to have them do it in the freaking jail. Like, for that much, you can get a guard to go in there and, like,
dude,
break
yeah.
their necks or something. Like, you could have got a guard to do it for, like, $10,000, dude.
I know. These guys aren't making that. Like, you didn't need to have this go down in a dungeon just freaking...
Could have paid a judge off.
$20 million? $20 million? I don't think anybody's ever put a hit on for $20 million. Jeez. All right, so we go, yeah. Yeah, 3 billion yen. Freaking crazy. 20 million U.S. dollars. Kang says, here's what I'll tell the inspectors when I get out of here. The three of you were set upon by a pack of 100 goblins. So, next thing we know, Mr. Kim and Johango, they walk in on Kang. I feel like anime always does this. The last guy to die, they're always being held up by their neck, you know? But in real life, nobody is ever strong enough to actually do that.
Yeah, like, but if they were, but in anime, they are strong enough, so if they could do it in real life, they would be.
That's true, but nobody in real life, like, I feel like even the strongest person, like Mr. Olympia, let's use Mr. Olympia, or Arnold Schwarzenegger back in his prime. Do you think he could pick up by the neck an average-sized man and hold them there with arms fully extended? Because I don't think so.
Like a 150, 160-pound cat, probably.
By the neck, though, it's like it's like dead weight. They're dangling, you know?
He could probably do it.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's a lot of anabolics going through his system.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like in anime, it's like maybe always tough. Like, that's how you catch somebody getting killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as they saw it, I knew that these guys were dead. You said it was whenever he was talking about apologizing.
Yeah,
He was dead. This is the moment they walked in on it is whenever I was like, yeah, their fate is sealed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like, I mean, I knew he was killing them, but I didn't know if he was just gonna be like, "Yeah, you're dead," or if he's gonna be like, "These guys deserve to die," and like maybe try to like sway them to be like it was the right thing to do, and then be like, "Yeah, okay, I get that. Let's get out of here."
Yeah.
But it wasn't even a question.
He didn't even skip a beat.
He doesn't even really tell him why he did it.
No. He literally just says, he sees them and he's like, oh, so it looks like the third path or the one on the left led to the boss and yours led to mine. So he was like already thinking that means Jinwoo, Mr. Song, and Juhi are fighting the boss. And right away, he cuts off the dude's head with a knife. A clean cut, too. And says, guess I'll have to alter my plans, and starts walking toward Mr. Kim and Johango. So Jinwoo hears a scream. He's like, Mr. Song! They all start running over to where the scream was. And Johango, he's already dead. He's been sliced and diced. Dead as hell. Kim is still alive. Jinwoo says, Mr. Kim, Juhi, heal him. Hurry and heal him. Mr. Kim says, don't bother. I'm not going to make it. Jinwoo says, what are you talking about? You need to survive. You have a family, don't you? You need to survive no matter what. How else can I keep blaming you? Mr. Kim says, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I didn't see it playing out like this. I wanted to give you a proper apology. I'm sorry, kid. I mean it. And then he falls over and dies. So pretty... I mean, at least he got to apologize. It was just, this part was interesting to me because I didn't think that Jinwoo still cared about that betrayal because of what ended up happening to him. Like, he ended up getting these powers. So I didn't think he was still holding on to any of that. But apparently he still was.
I mean, I can see why he was. I just, in general, hadn't really thought about it until we started seeing those guys again last episode. But yeah, I still didn't take him for the type to be like, these bastards.
I know.
If he was, they should have gave us a little something like when he saw him, be like, these guys.
Yeah, it's an internal monologue.
I'm not going in here with these guys again.
Yeah. Freaking ditched me last time. So Kang, he tries killing Juhi first, and Jinwoo blocks it. So right away, I'm like, okay. Nobody else, just like, if that wasn't your first tip, Mr. Song, that this dude's freaking stronger than you, like, you didn't block him from killing Juhi. Jinwoo did. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would be the moment, like, hey, maybe you should fight this guy. But instead, Mr. Song steps up to the plate, takes up Mr. Kim's sword, even though it doesn't work because he's a magic user, which was a bold choice, ended up working out for him. They fight for a while with swords, which was crazy because Mr. Sung is fighting a guy whose ability is stealth, so like blades, and he's just using a sword with no power. He's just that great at fighting with a sword, and he's doing pretty good.
He's a kendo master.
Yeah, the one-armed master. His sword ends up getting knocked away. He's getting hit, but he's getting healed, and so he's on his knees about to die. But he had a last-ditch effort plan to blow Kang up. It does not work. And luckily, Jinwoo steps in to save him. Kang says, you again? Who the hell are you? And he has the freaking coolest introduction to himself ever. He's like got this cool stance, like he dashed over there. He says, "Sung Jinwoo, E rank." He should have said, "Sung Jinwoo, E rank, the weakest hunter in the world." That's who I am. Which is pretty legit. I don't know why, but I thought that part was freaking cool. How he just had to throw in the E rank instead of just Sung Jinwoo. And this is when Kang says, "You've been hiding your skills, haven't you?" This is the part of the episode where we learn Kang, he's not killing because he's getting paid. He just loves killing people. He's bloodlusted as hell.
Yeah, you don't have to. If you do any fake matchups, like you don't even have to throw in, like, what if they're bloodlusted? Like, this guy stays.
This dude is.
He stays.
He's so bloodthirsty. He's so bloodthirsty that it literally activates the system. So Jinwoo says, "Could you be a little less bloodthirsty?" And he gets a notification. He says, "Now you've done it. Even the system's noticed. Then again, I should be grateful. The system's given me another reason to make sure you die." So Jinwoo didn't really care that he killed the convicts, but he was like, "Why did you kill Kim and Johango? And why did you have to torture them like that?" And that's what basically he can't forgive. Jinwoo has the upper hand until Kang vanishes. He uses the stealth skill that hides his appearance, smell, aura, pretty much everything. Like,
classic.
You can't beat it.
Yeah. Nobody's ever seen this move twice.
Yeah. That's because everybody that's seen it ends up dead. At one point, Jinwoo heals his Achilles, does a full recovery, and this is the first time that Kang gets a little freaked out, and he acknowledges that, he says, "This guy's dangerous. I need to be careful."
So he realizes, like, shit, this guy might have some plot armor.
Yeah. This guy's blocking every attack I have. He's an E rank. He just healed himself. Maybe I should tuck tail and run. We see a light burnout in Jinwoo. A little blue flame goes out, and then Jinwoo says, "That's another of my emotions gone. I don't even need to get angry to kill filth like you." Have we seen an emotion or a flame burn out in Jinwoo before? Or is this the first time? Because he says another of my emotions.
I don't know. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember if it's happened again or since Kang kind of, I guess, went into more depth about it, they're trying to give us more visual feedback of what's happening, I guess, to him on the inside. So, but
maybe
I wouldn't be surprised if it's happened before, but I can't think of it.
Because he implies that anger is, he no longer has the emotion of anger, because he says, "I don't even need anger to get angry to kill filth like you." In the end, Jinwoo uses his skill Murderous Intent that's still at level 1. He stabs Kang right through the heart. They're having a little back and forth. Jinwoo says, "Let's just say that I'm a hunter who gets stronger after every battle." And then Kang gives us a line that I believe is some serious foreshadowing for the show in general. He says, "Then I'd say your shadow stretches into some really nasty places, and you'll probably get as strong as those places are dark. You'd better watch yourself, though. If you gaze for too long into an abyss, the abyss gazes also into you." Freaky stuff. Literally just got chills reading that. And I'm all for this show going dark. Like, I'm for it. I like a good dark show every once in a while, but it will suck if Jinwoo starts to become the anti-hero and that he's no longer like a moral person. Like, he's just got to do what the system tells him to. But I know that that's what's going to make for a good story if that,
yeah, I mean,
is
it's
where
cool
this goes.
He, like, that's where he needs to go, or if that's the a stone he needs to step on, is no morality for a little while. I'm sure he'll come back around, but yeah. It's definitely, he's going to do some more effed up stuff. Not that anything he's done right now is.
Yeah, I just hope that he's always aware of when something is effed up. Like, he was mad that this guy toyed with Kim and Johango. And, like, I hope he always is. Like, whenever somebody's messing with the innocent like that, I hope he's never just like, "I don't give a shit about that. I'm just here to kill you." I hope he always cares, is what I'm saying. But I don't think that he will, because he's saying, like, his emotions are slowly slipping away. And he even says, "For some reason, the stronger I get, the more I feel something inside of me falling apart. That was also a big foreshadowing line. So I do think he's losing himself. And I'm starting to think that, like, he may be some kind of vessel, you know, for, like, somebody to take over and live. I don't know. For some reason, the stronger I get, the more I feel something inside of me falling apart. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's just essentially showing us the cost of his power and his growth. Like, yeah, he's going to get strong, but inevitably, you know, to gain something, you have to give something. So he's given his humanness, his emotions, you know, what makes him moral. Like, he's going to lose all that shit.
Yeah. Next we know, Kang's dead. Jinwoo says, I'm going to go beat this boss. You guys get out of here. Mr. Song and Ju-hee agree. They're like, yeah, we wouldn't really be of any help. We don't get to see the fight, though, but we do know he wins because later that night, it's 3 hours later. Next thing we know, Jin-Chul Woo, who is the inspector who was with Kang at the hospital, his manager, he gets the news that Kang was a bastard all along. He's surprised, but he's not that surprised, which is weird. And then right away, he recognizes Jinwoo. He's like, that's the E-rank from the Double Dungeon. He asks how they were able to defeat Kang because he was a B-rank. And you could tell that Jinwoo was about to fess up. He was like, this is where I'm no longer going to be able to hide my power. I'm also not going to be able to work with Jin-ho anymore. But Mr. Sung, he lies on his behalf. He says he defeated Kang with the help of Ju-hee. And Jin-Chul Woo, he accepts that, says he's going to need more information to type up a report.
But he doesn't accept it. He just doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Like, he knows. He doesn't care. He's like, these fuckers are lying, but he's like, all right.
Yeah.
You got to finish his paperwork.
Yeah. Jin-Woo says, I can't get cocky just because I beat Kang Taishik. I couldn't tell before, but this guy is A-rank. As it stands, I'd be helpless against him.
I mean, technically, he couldn't beat Kang either. I mean, he could because he had the full recoveries, but I think we're supposed to believe that, like, if it wasn't for, like, the system and him being able to recover, like, he probably would have lost on just straight-up merit. No potions.
Well, yeah. Without murderous intent, he'd have lost.
I mean, just with no potions, no heal run through, like, he's losing that fight even with the murderous intent.
Shit, that's how almost every video game is, though. You can't heal, you ain't beating it. You think Link is freaking beating Ganondorf without any special potions or?
Oh yeah, I guarantee you, there's somebody who's gone through
the whole game
without taking a single hit the whole game.
Yeah, they exist. They're just freaks of nature.
It's just getting pretty common now. Like a no heals run is, you know, there's some games I believe I could do it for.
Yeah. So. We're seeing a trend here that is going to stand out, I feel like, to Wu Jin-Chul. There's been three dungeons with deaths of several people, and Jin-Woo has been a part of all three. He's been a part of the Double Dungeon, the Dong Suk crew getting killed, and now Kang and the convicts, and two more people. The only common denominator to all of those is Jin-Woo. So, I think he is for sure on the radar, like a serious radar now, because one of the Hunter Association's own was killed, even though they found out, you know, he was killing people. Still, it sounds fishy that a C-rank, an E-rank, and a B-rank healer were able to beat a B-rank stealth government employee.
He's honestly, like, I don't know why Jin-Woo doesn't just have, like, the sickest armor, like, from, rich guy, what's his name? Boss?
Jin-Ho?
Yeah, Jin-Ho, like, not just because he wants it, but just because, like, I just feel like it's such a good cover, like, even, like, right now, like, in this situation, like, if he was in there geared to the teeth from Jin-Ho, it could be like, yeah, I was able to with the healing, and then, you know, since Jin-Woo has this armor, it basically makes him a C-rank, too. Armor and sword. Yeah. It's just like, you don't have to use it, just, like, have it on you. And then it's kind of just, like, always an outs.
Or, like, have you a blow dart, be like, I hit him with my blow dart, it's got poison tips.
Just something, because then they could be like, oh yeah, these two survived, maybe the, you know, he has a loyalty to him now, and he's hooking him up with some gear. I don't know.
Yeah, he needs some kind
of ways,
story.
There's some ways to cover footprints, and he just doesn't seem interested in doing it.
Yep. So Mr. Song says, sorry if I overstepped my bounds there, but I imagine you've got a good reason for keeping your strength hidden. Well, think of it as my way of paying you back. So we live to see Song live another day, which is great. We fast forward 3 hours. Their story is corroborated because the guy that paid the 3 billion yen to Kang comes out admitting that he did put a hit of $20 million on killing these three convicts. And so they're all in the clear. Juhi pulls out the Goblin Essence Stone from episode 1 and asks Jinwoo, do you remember this? He turns around, and she fully means to cash in on that date that is long overdue. And I think that next episode is going to be like their date, because the episode is titled, what is this, a picnic? Brennan, what are the chances you think are of Juhi and Jinwoo having anything?
I mean, I don't know how serious he's going to get. Like, she's kind of like a cheerleader, and I'm sure, like, in his old life, he would have, you know, been ecstatic about going on a picnic with her.
Yeah.
I think it'll kind of be like a thing where she obviously is, like, likes him or whatever, wants to be closer, and he's still also getting used to, like, the ladies being interested in him too, so true. He'll be a little bit thrown off by that, but then, you know, as the story progresses as well, he'll realize it's like she's slowing him up and shit. There'll be something there. I don't think they're gonna divulge into it too deeply, or he's not really ever gonna. If anything, it's gonna become, she'll become like Mary Jane, where he's just like, it's too dangerous for me to be with you.
I think on this date, he's gonna unlock a secret quest. That's what I think. I think it's going to be like secret quest unlocked.
Lose your V, like, card.
Yeah, or something along those lines.
System's going to tell him he's got a bang.
Yeah. Or like get a kiss within 5 minutes. Or, you know, something like that. Like, I feel like his system is going to start bleeding into all aspects of his life. And we've only seen it in the form of like fighting so far. But this system is like he's in a game. Like, his exercise,
yeah. So it's like
even had
it's like
games
a,
to it.
It's a persona game. Like, he's got to go to school. He's got like the dating simulator on the side.
Pretty much. That's just my thought. Because why even have like a dating app, like him going on a date at this point? Because he's clearly not interested in it at that point. It's gonna have to be like he's got to do it as a quest almost.
Yeah, I mean, he might be interested in it. We haven't really got time to think much about it. But, I mean,
true. He was trying to get effed up.
He may be high.
For all I know, drunk the other night.
Yeah, that's true. He was trying to piss his pants.
Piss your pants drunk. He's trying to get piss your pants drunk. Couldn't do it though. Couldn't do it. Well, that's it for this episode. Episode 10, people. We got two more, I believe.
I feel like that's what we said early on.
I'm gonna look that shit up now.
This shit could go for 26, you know.
What's the show called? Solo Leveling.
Solo Leveling.
Season 1, episode 1. 12. Yeah, we've got two more episodes, people. And yeah, I just realized we also have to acknowledge that one of the greatest mangakas and storytellers of all time passed away March 1, and that is Akira Toriyama. So rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. I know everybody online's been doing you a solid. Everybody for sure acknowledges that you were one of the greatest. It's definitely sad that he passed away, because it was unexpected, wasn't it?
Yeah, for us.
It's like a hematoma.
Yeah, I think I think it was going on for, it, not like a long time, but like a little while, but it's just kind of one of those things where they didn't, you know, release it to the public. But yeah, pretty sudden, you know, overall, and especially for fans of his work.
Yeah. Yep. R.I.P. And on a lighter note, Avatar, the live action, did you see it got renewed for a second season and a third season?
Yeah, two and three, so they get to finish it, I guess. That's good at least, because now there won't be too much time. I'm sure they're not starting filming for a while, but that means I'm sure they'll film the next two back-to-back, so everything will be cohesive. I think it'll be good.
They won't be 20 years old when they're filming season three.
I mean, I think it'll be good for, like, Aang's character to, or, like, the actor to grow just a little bit. But then it'd be cohesive through the last two. So,
yeah.
That's good. I mean, yeah, we have an episode on it. And I think it deserved definitely another season. And it's like, you can do the second one, you might as well do the third and commit to this shit.
Yep. All right, well, if you got nothing else, I don't either. Perfect. All right, well, everybody, I'm Jordo.
Brennan.
Thank you all for listening. We are the Casual Anime Fanatics, also known as the Evans Bros. Have a great week, and as always, peace out.